If you've been here for the past few weeks, other than last Sunday, you know that we have been in part of a series called Rising from the Ashes, or Rising Up from the Ashes. And the ashes, of course, we remember on Ash Wednesday when we began the season of Lent, and we were reminded that of our mortality, that we are made from dust and that to dust we shall return. But as we think about life and we think about the things that are going on in our world, how can we rise above those things? Who is it that we go to help us to rise above those things? And in order for us to realize how to do that, we've been considering the characteristics of Jesus, the attributes of Jesus, who he really is, and then how we can emulate that, how we can be like Jesus, true Christ followers, and see what it is that he would have us to do. And for that, we're going to consider today the theme of sacrifice. Now, if you came here expecting a parade, you got it. That was it this morning. But today, we're going to look more at the passion side of Palm Sunday. So more about what happens to Jesus leading up to the resurrection. We'll talk a bit briefly at the end about Palm Sunday, so don't forget that. But I want to begin this morning with a story, a true story, about a man by the name of John Robert Fox. He was born in Cincinnati, Ohio on May 18th of 1915. And by all accounts, he was a very smart man. He ended up going to college at Wilberforce University, and there he was trained. He signed up to be trained for a Reserve Officer Training Corps. And so he graduated from there, not only with his graduate degree, but he also graduated as a first lieutenant. And when war broke out, he signed up, and he was part of the 92nd Infantry Division, which was a segregated division of African Americans, soldiers that fought with distinction throughout the conflict. Now, within his unit, Fox was sent to Europe, and he was around the area of Italy, or as some people say, Italy. But he was there around Italy, and in 1944, he found himself fighting the Nazis in that part of the country. And there was a little village that was outside of a little town of Tuscany. And there he found, as he made his way there, that he was overran by the Nazis. And the Americans that were there as part of his group were in retreat. And he noticed that things were looking bad for them. And so he found a house, and he, upon finding this house, he went up into the second story of this house, and he radioed to his United States forces, and he told them about what was going on. And he said that he called for artillery fire to be directed at the very village where he was, and that it would give the opportunity for the United States forces to retreat, to regroup, and to get a counteroffensive going. Now, Mr. Fox, Lieutenant Fox, gave these instructions that they specifically have this barrage go directly toward his location. Now, the person on the other end of the radio radioed back to him and said, "Surely you must be mistaken. If we do that, you may die." Mr. Lieutenant Fox said, "Go ahead and fire it. There's more of them than there are of us." And his sacrifice was not in vain. As he planned, the artillery barrage did indeed give his comrades the chance to regroup and to launch a successful comeback. And when the United States forces arrived there in this little town outside of Tuscany, this little village there, sure enough, they found John Robert Fox, who had sacrificed his life, and he was surrounded by 100 German soldiers who were all dead as well. In 1997, posthumously, he, along with 6 other soldiers, were presented the Medal of Honor by then-President William Jefferson Clinton. and 97 individuals, black Americans, have earned that distinction. That's not very many when you consider all of the wars that we've had. I tell that story this morning because of the great sacrifice that this man made for our country, for his fellow soldiers. But I also tell it to remind us that it was Jesus who paid a much greater sacrifice for all of us, for the sins of the world. And I think we have much to learn from Jesus as we enter into this final week and the beginning of Holy Week. So let's get started. There's a prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. And it prophesies about this specific day, which is marked on the calendar as Palm Sunday. Zechariah 9:9, the prophet shares, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Interestingly enough, Jesus does not ride in like a mighty conquering hero on a horse, a white stallion. He rides in on a very simple donkey, even a colt, a foal of a donkey. Very symbolic of humility. Very symbolic of a person who is coming not as a conquering king, but as one who would be a humble servant. One who was willing to make a sacrifice. Now, if you've been with us throughout this series, you know that we've already talked about humility, and I'm not going to rehash it here this morning, except that I want to read a portion of Scripture from the book of Philippians, and I'll be reading chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. This is not on the screen, but if you have your phone or your Bible, you can follow. Paul wrote, "Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." Christ willingly gave himself up for us. Christ willingly left heaven and all the splendor there. He willingly came down in human form to give himself up as a sacrifice. He did so humbly. He laid aside all of his position, all of his power. He laid it down so that he could become a servant, that he could come and die for you on a cruel cross. I submit to you today that a true leader is one who is humble, is one who puts others above themselves, and one who serves others. This is Jesus the Christ. He knew that he had to come. It was part of God's plan, for we had been separated from the beginning of the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve fell short of God's glory and sinned there and did what he told them not to do. And ever since that time, we've been part of a fallen world, and sin has entered into all of us. By our very birth, we enter into that sin, and we end up committing sin. And so this morning, I want to think about the cost of discipleship, what it cost Jesus as we approach Maundy Thursday when he prayed with his disciples in the garden, as we grow closer to the cross, the hill called the Skull of Golgotha, Calvary, where Jesus was crucified, where he was mocked and spat upon, his side was poked, and blood ran down. What is the cost of following Jesus Christ? What is the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? What are you willing to give up to be a Christian in this world today? Now, if you and I have agreed that we are going to follow Christ, that we're going to live a Christian lifestyle and follow in the footsteps of Jesus, it means that we're going to have to sacrifice. I know that you hear preachers from time to time and read authors from time to time who paint a very rosy picture of Christianity, that all of life will be rosy and peachy and blessed if you follow Jesus Christ. There is truth to that, but I also want to be very clear that that is not the whole of the gospel. That is not the whole of the gospel. For when you look at the whole of the gospel, when you look at it in its complete story, you find that there is a time where you have a cost, where we have to give up something. That's what Jesus did. That's the model that we have. And so that cost is sacrifice. And I want you to hear some words this morning that I find difficult to hear myself. And as you hear them, maybe you've heard them before, but these will be up on the screen. And these are the words that Jesus spoke to a crowd that was traveling with him in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Let's hear what that has to say. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his or her own life, he or she cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry his or her cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Continuing on, "Which of you, wishing to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has the resources to complete it? Otherwise, if he lays the foundation and is unable to finish the work, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This man could not finish what he started to build.' Or, what king on his way to war with another king will not first sit down and consider whether he can engage with 10,000 men and the one coming against him with 20,000? And if he is unable, he will send a delegation while the other king is still far off and ask for terms of peace." Now Jesus says, "In the same way, any one of you who does not give up everything, he or she cannot be my disciple." Let that just sink in for a moment. It's difficult to hear. You realize that in the midst of that, Jesus is giving us a couple of examples of what he's talking about. Before you start a project, before you get into something, dive into something, you need to make sure you know what you're doing. If you're going to build a building, if you're going to remodel something, you know what the supplies are going to cost you. You know that you have the people to do the project. You know how that you have some skilled people around that can make things look good in the end. Jesus referred to that as one. And if you're not that kind of person, then people are going to ridicule you for it, that you started something and you weren't able to finish it. In the same way, he talked about that king and who was well outnumbered and realizing that, oh my goodness, I'm outnumbered. I better go and make peace with that other side because they're going to take us out. You need to be prepared. You need to have a clear understanding of what it is that you're getting into. I believe that as I look across our congregation, we're dealing with a group of mature Christians, people who want to follow Christ, people who have been following Christ for a long time. But when you hear these words and you know that these words come from Jesus, and he says that you must give up your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, and if you can't do that, even your own life, and if you can't do that, you're not able to be his disciple. Jesus asked the question in other parts of the Bible where someone comes to him and they says, your mother and your brother are waiting for you. And he says, who are my mother and my brother? And then he points to his disciples and he said, these are my mother and my brother. What he's saying there is that the people of faith, the people that realize the cost and can count the cost of following Jesus, those are his brothers and sisters. And I would pray for you this morning that your siblings, that your parents, that your grandparents, that your co-workers are all followers of Jesus Christ, and therefore they're part of that fellowship of believers. But this passage is hard to hear. It's why the Bible speaks very clearly about being equally yoked when a couple choose to marry. Because there's an automatic division right from the start if there's not a connection of faith from the very beginning. Jesus challenges us to give up family and friends and plans and position and power and prestige, but he didn't ask us to do something that he hadn't already done. He had already left it all behind. He had already given it all up. You see, the point, I believe, is, if you were to paraphrase it, that we should all be ready and be willing to give up our plans. Anything that stands in the way of us truly being a disciple or follower of Christ, that we should be willing to and able to give that up. Consider the cost of following Jesus. And so if Christ is crucified, and if Christ then did sacrifice for us and paid the penalty which we rightly deserved, doesn't it make sense then that you and I also should make sacrifice? Amen. That we should be willing to give up of our times, our talent, our treasure, our possessions, our wants, our desires, so that we can follow faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Now, I can almost guarantee that all of you here have heard this next verse that Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. In fact, our praise team up here sings it once in a while. It's also an older hymn that's been set to newer music. But it's very simple. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Jesus now lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, as we live on this earth, we no longer live for ourselves. We've died to ourselves when we accepted Jesus Christ. When we entered the waters of baptism, we were symbolically buried in those waters, and we died to our old selves. We died to our old and former ways of living, and we were raised up to new life, a new and meaningful life that only Jesus can give. So yes, my friends, discipleship is difficult. It's going to cost you something. It's going to take your time. It's going to take rearranging your priorities. It's going to take giving something away, giving up something. And in the midst of it, you're probably going to find some people within your own family who will oppose what you're doing. I see this year after year after year at Christmas Eve when families give me the same thing that they tell me every year. Well, we're going to come, but the family's going to stay at home. Bring the family. You've set yourselves up already in the midst of that when you leave them behind. There's a divide there. This is what we're talking about. There's a cost. You give up an hour. You give up a half an hour, and you come and worship and celebrate the true meaning. And much the same for Easter. Discipleship is a sacrifice. And yes, it can be difficult. You have to be willing to let go of anything and everything that you once believed was the most important thing, possession, job in your entire life. To give it all up and to leave it behind. But also, in the midst of all of this, which sounds very difficult, and it is the good news that Jesus is with us and that he promises in his word that he will never leave us or never, ever forsake us. And so when we can let go of things and when we can make those sacrifices, he's with us. The Bible calls him the high priest, and in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, we hear these words, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weakness." In other words, he understands that. Remember that story from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, how he was tempted? Just as